Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, you know I appreciate you tuning in this week. So my motivational quote is by Jodi Picoult, and she says, "You can always edit a bad page. You can't edit a blank page." So have you always dreamed of writing a book? Do you already have a title or at least maybe the topic of what your book would be? And did you know that 81% of Americans feel that they have a book in them? This translates to about 200 million people. The sad truth, though, is statistics show that only 5% of those 200 million will actually pull the trigger and go and write a book. So why is this? You know, which comes first, the skill of being an author or the theme of the book? It's the old question, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, help is on its way. Of course, I have a guest today who's going to answer all these questions. And my guest is Chrissy Burnell, and she helps authors achieve their literary goals by assisting them in crafting their stories and guiding them in all areas of their journey to publication. Now, Chrissy and her family have been featured on shows including ABC's 2020, Inside Edition, Anderson Cooper, several foreign programs, and more. Now, her children's book, Sienna's Locket, received recognition for Barbara Bush's Literary Foundation and is regularly used in classrooms as a teaching tool to establish what makes us different and what makes us so wonderful. Now, Chrissy believes that each of us has a unique message or skill set that can be the key to unlocking someone else's life, and that learn and leaning into your story or the human aspects of your brand can attract the audience and the customers that hopefully you desire. So please help me welcome my wonderful guest today, Chrissy, to the show. So Chrissy, thanks for being on.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm excited.
Yes, as am I. So, in full disclosure, I actually have hired Chrissy to work with me. My book is hopefully coming out. We're shooting for February 2020. It might have to be pushed back to March, but that's okay. You know, life takes over. So Chrissy is helping me with this whole process of when you don't know what you don't know, you really don't know. So Chrissy is really an expert. Did I say that right, Chrissy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I didn't know. Apparently, I didn't know a lot. So, so first question, what do you tell people who maybe are thinking about writing their first book, but have that, not me, I can't do that?
A lot of people do. They just get so overwhelmed with all the stuff that they, just like you, they don't know. So they don't even start. It's like the whole, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Well, they stop thinking that way and they just think, I don't know where to start, so I'm not going to. That's what happens a lot of times.
Yeah, and I have to share, when Chrissy was actually referred to me by a colleague who has just written a book as well, and when I met with Chrissy, we had a really long conversation, about an hour and a half, if I remember correctly, and you asked me a whole bunch of questions, and then she sent me this tremendous report. It had to be 28 to 30 pages. Literally, guys, step by step by step of what to do first, what to do second. So it took that angst out of it. I'm not saying that it wasn't overwhelming. It was. But it was, yeah. And I mean, it is, Chrissy. This is a big undertaking to write a book. The thing is that those little step-by-steps, there were things I had no idea, and you organized it, so it helped me organize my brain to say, okay, I'm not going to worry about that just yet. I need to focus on this component of writing. So, talk to authors about how do they get started? Maybe that's where we should start. How does an author get started?
Sure. Well, a lot of times, the very first thing that a lot of people get tripped up on is, even if once they decide, yes, I want to write a book, and they just go for it, a lot of times they're like, okay, well, what do I write about? And so I encourage people, sit and really, sit with yourself for a bit and think, okay, what's the three things that people constantly ask me about? And then once you do that, you'll discover, oh, okay, I do know that. I know enough. And so, that's an easy way of figuring out what to write about, because obviously deciding to write a book is a start. Some people don't even know what they want to write about before they do. And then first you need to also figure out, who are you writing for? You know, it's great that you have an idea in mind, but you really need to know, who is this reader going to be? Because that's going to affect the language you use, the tone that you use, the length of the book. You know, if you're writing a children's book, obviously you can't write a children's book for four-year-olds that's 50,000 words long. So you have to have a really defined audience in mind before you start writing the book.
Yeah, and it's important. It was funny when I told people, you know, that I was writing this book, and, you know, I was really jumping into the deep end. It was the next thing for me, right, to challenge my skill set. And everybody's like, oh, what are you writing about? And I would look at them, and I'm like, sales? Like, it's the only thing I really know about, right? So, obviously, I know about a lot more things, but to me, it was... So many people struggle with that word sale. So many people in my target audience are really entrepreneurs or leaders of sales people, because it's wonderful to say, yeah, I need to go out and sell my product, whatever it might be. But there's a step, there's a sequence of events that you have to go through with your client. And most people don't even think of it as this very scientific kind of process. So that clarity, when you and I spoke, I did know, but I didn't know it clearly. And so that shifted for me with the book, where I thought, I have to tell more stories about, you know, the hardships that I had in my life, you know, and choosing to be an entrepreneur. What are the frustrations? Because if I'm feeling it, I know that these other you know, other entrepreneurs are feeling the same angst that I am. So those stories, I hadn't incorporated. I had to go back and think about that. So that was such a great piece of advice. Those two little things really helped me drill into, you know, what was the next step in you know, just I think formatting the book, you know, in the proper tone so that people will be receptive to it. Now, I know the next question. Exactly. Yeah. And the next question I know people are asking, well, okay, so then you decide to write a book. You know what the topic is. You know who your audience is. Okay, I got that. Where do I go to publish this book now? And I know that's a huge question that you get asked often.
Right. I do get asked often a lot, and people don't necessarily understand the difference between independent publishing and traditional publishing. And traditional publishing is where you would go, and you have to have a literary agent who is then going to pitch your book to the various publishers, and then they decide whether or not they're going to take on your project. It's very similar to the music industry with regards to perhaps getting like a record deal or something. So a lot of people do opt for independent publishing, which independent publishing used to have a really negative connotation to it. People thought, oh, the books that come out on independent publishing are horrible, the quality's bad, and, you know, that it was true then. It was really bad. But now, thankfully, because of Amazon and several of the other third-party ones that will allow you to self-publish, the quality has gone up. It's, man, I've worked with several independent authors who their quality is spectacular. I really can't tell the difference. And then there are also types of publishers called vanity presses. They're not going to call themselves that, but what they are is it's an independent publishing that you're going to be doing, but through a third party, so that when it's listed as who's the publisher, it will be that company and not your name. So it gives it a little bit more of a legitimate look to it. But you're going to pay more for it, of course. But, you know, it's kind of up, you have to just depend on, oh my gosh, it's Friday, thank goodness. Oh my gosh.
I know I get tongue-tied too sometimes, that, right, the thoughts don't come out clearly. It is what it is. You're funny.
Because I have so much that I could say about all this, so it's like, where do I start on what to say?
It's a lot. Let me ask you a question. Now, your book that you published, the children's book, did you self-publish, or did you go through that traditional...
That was on more the traditional route, but it was, I didn't get like a big, you know, upfront stipend or anything like that. So mine was not super fancy like that.
It wasn't anything super fancy. That's okay. You're fancy though. So the traditional is definitely the harder way to go, because you have to hire a literary agent. You have to push it out there to see that someone will take it. So like I'm saying, I'm going to publish in February or March. I am going to, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do the self-publishing or use those vanity publishing houses. I'm not sure which route, but the it's just an easier way to do it, to get your information out. Another question. So I have a huge following, right, between the show, my business for 20 years, you know, my career before that, just people that you start to build into your network. People know my name, I guess, right? So when you choose to self-publish, you're going to the platform where people know you already. So there's a familiarity of me, and it's cute. I was on a podcast. I was a guest recently, so I posted it on LinkedIn, and people were like, "Wait, you're writing a book?" And I'm like, "Well, that's the point of the podcast, right? To get the word out." But people were like, "How can I buy it? I want to buy it. Oh my God, I'm so excited!" So you get, yeah, I know. I have to tell you, you know, I know people love me, and I'm always touched by those responses, because we forget how many people we touch, how many lives we touch. So when I get that response, Chris, it was like, I was like, oh, like I was so excited that they were excited for me, that it felt really good. So that's another thing people, I would think, should take into account, that it's okay to go the self-publishing route. You know a lot of people, and they know a lot of people, and the internet is kind of a cool thing, right?
Yes, you know, especially if you take the time to put out a good quality book, then it's gonna be so much better. And, you know, yes, there are still crappy books that are published on Amazon all the time. But, you know, it's very easy to make your stand out as one that's, you know, somebody put some thought into. It's something that can be easily done. Well, I say easily because it's not super complicated, but there are a lot of steps and there are a lot of things you have to consider. And with regards to traditional publishing, there are a lot of what are called boutique publishers. So mine would have been more of a boutique publisher in that, you know, you don't have to go quite through the rigmarole that you would, say, if you went through like Penguin House. You know,
right.
That's a much bigger one. Like I have a friend who is, she writes romance novels, and it's a traditional way, but she didn't have to go get a literary agent and all that. So, there, you know, just do some Googling and do some research. A literary market is a great place to start as well. Just Google literary market and it'll pop up for you.
And it was interesting too, Chrissy, because you were referred to me, right, by a colleague in Texas. She was writing a book, and she's been on my show, and she and I, we just get along, right? She's also sales, you know, she has a psychology background, so she does the psychology of sales, and I do the how-to of sales. So she and I, we just really complement each other. So, you know, when I was referred to you, and it was funny because she said to me, Lorianne Reeves, shout out to Lorianne, my buddy over there in Texas, but she said, Con, I'm telling you, this is so worth having, you know, that consultation with Chrissy, because I wasted so much time on things that were unnecessary, and I had so many blind spots about what I should be putting my efforts on. So your report was really an eye-opening experience, and I believe Lorianne was 100% right. So, you know, everybody Google, you know, if you have the time, Googling is a beautiful thing. And Chrissy knows, you know, I have the two businesses, I have the podcast, right, I do the show every week, I still have a family, you know, that I still have to give attention to, right, we have families, and that the Google searching, for me, that's not my, I don't love doing that, so it was worth literally the few hundred dollars that to go through and get that analysis was worth a lot of money. So, you know, really, you're affordable. That I just want people to understand, because they're like, oh, it's thousands of dollars. That first consultation was tremendous. And it was funny, right, Chrissy? After, and I'll just share with my listeners, they'll laugh because they know me. At the end of my conversation with Chrissy, I said to her, so what else can you help me with? Because she, you know, I loved you. I thought, you know, you got me, right, and all of those things. And so she started going through her list, and I'm like, well, why wasn't that on the report? And Chrissy was like, I'm like, hey, you need to add it to your report. That's that cross-sell component, and not that you're pushing, you know, oh, hire me, because you're so not about that either, because I'm not about that either, hire me. And the list, I immediately circle back and I'm like, I need you for this, this, and this. So we, okay, let's, what's the next step? We're afraid, see, you as an entrepreneur, we're afraid that, oh, you know, people just signed up for the report. But if there's things within the report that you can help, you know, like my listeners with, if they're choosing to do a book, I need to know that at the back end to say, if you need more intel or more info, hey, check out the other things that I'm happy to help you with. It's not pushy. It's an FYI. And we're entrepreneurs. We're afraid to tell people how we can help them. And right, I yelled at her. I said, Chrissy, put that in your report. I go, from now on, I want that added. And, you know, we chuckled about it. But these are the things that people need help with, Chrissy. And you have this wonderful talent. And we're afraid to share it. And I think that's so silly. So next question. What should an author expect from the book? And you and I talked about that, right? At the end of this, what's the expectation?
And that's a great question, because a lot of times people will, they'll have a book idea and they think, oh, it's going to end up on Oprah's best, you know, book list. It's going to make me a millionaire. I'm going to travel the world. And you know what? That's all possible. But I like to make sure that people are realistic from the get-go, you know, depending on what your book is about, especially, you know, if it's a nonfiction sales book or a networking book or something that's more on the business development, you're going to have to work a little bit harder than if you had some sort of story that was based on true life that might make a movie, you know, but even then it's going to be hard, you know. So you want to look at your book as more of a tool rather than a money-making device. Now, you can still make money off of them, but look at it as a tool and approach it as just an aspect of your business that you're using to legitimize yourself, show people, give them kind of a little piece of yourself so that when they read the book, they can go, oh, wow, she's got some really good insight. Maybe I should hire her or have her speak or, you know, have her come talk to my team, you know, or hey, she needs to do a webinar, you know, those sorts of things. So use it as like kind of an entry level piece that you're giving people.
Yeah. And it was funny because the book was not to make money at all. I feel that there's so many entrepreneurs at this point in my life, right? There's an element of giving back, right? Sharing your wealth, sharing your ideas. So I go to these networking events and I meet all these wonderful entrepreneurs who are service-based and they just don't know how to position themselves. So they talk at what they do versus how they can help someone, right? And that one little twist makes a difference. So my book for me is I want to really create a digital platform that will be very affordable so that, because it's too expensive for an entrepreneur to hire me. I understand that, but there's a need there. And that makes me crazy because I know I can help. So I'm thinking, well, if I could create a digital platform, make it affordable and go through little modules for them to develop whatever their statement is and to shift that brain of I'm being pushy to, if somebody needs you, you're not being pushy, you're being helpful. And that little shift sometimes is all we need as entrepreneurs. So I love that you said that it's not about making $1 million, certainly is not for me. I just want to give people a resource that's affordable, that can help them grow their business, right? Because that's, to me, that's sales, that's my purpose in life. So that was an important distinction, although I knew that before I spoke with you. I did not want to make $1 million. I wanted it to be a resource to help that was inexpensive, that anybody could get their hands right on a book, you know, 20 bucks or whatever for a book. Now, next question, I know people are thinking, Chrissy, so, okay, I write this book, I decide to self-publish or whatever, right, whatever version I choose, whatever venue. How much typically is the cost to go and self-publish?
So self-publishing can be anywhere from several hundred to several thousand, honestly. Just depends on what kind of book it is. Children's books can often get expensive because of so much color, and a lot of times you need a hardcover, that sort of thing. but you need to make sure that you have an understanding that you're not going to get this book out for 50 bucks. It's just not going to happen. And even if you do much of the stuff yourself, you know, if you have a team, that's going to be fabulous. But in order to do it right, which if you do want to make any sort of impact with your book and, you know, even sell at all any copies, then you're going to need to do it right. And so you're going to need to have it professionally edited, which that could cost, depending on how long your book is, you know, anywhere from a couple $100 to, you know, $800. Then you're going to need to have a nice looking cover. I see a lot of people try and use those free templates for covers. And if you're using the free template, chances are somebody else's too. So your cover's going to look like somebody else's. And, you know, people can clearly see. They're not dumb. They can see, okay, this person has a cover that they just popped off the internet. Or, oops, my dog is.
That's okay.
Never bark.
That's okay. People love dogs.
There we go. Don't throw him the light. There we go. Sorry.
That's okay.
He's always so quiet.
He wanted to be on the show.
I know, right? So, yeah, and then when it comes to actually getting the book out there, if you self-publish, you know, going through KDP, that's free. So you can upload it, get that all ready. There are a few platforms where it's free to upload it and get it ready to publish. And then what happens is that it's kind of like a print on demand. So they won't go and print a whole bunch of copies until somebody buys a copy and then they'll print it. So you can do it that way. But like some of those boutique places as well, or the vanity presses, they might have you order enough up front so that you can actually have an inventory of some sort. So if you get into that scenario, you're looking at, you know, 10 to 15,000 to do a run of books. So, you know, you just got to be clear with what your budget is, clear with your expectations, and then just make sure you do your research before you sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, but again, you're right. It could be, you know, several hundred dollars to several thousand dollars. But my feeling is if this is something that you're really passionate about and you know it's time for me to do this, you can, you know, you can. Here's the thing too, right? We're missing the whole point, Chrissy, that let's say people are listening today and think, oh, I totally have to write a book. Well, that's a great thing. You're not going to need the couple of hundred to the few thousand tomorrow, because you have to now sit and take the time to write the book. So while you're writing the book, you can start to, again, I highly recommend hiring Chrissy for that initial consult for the few hundred dollars, right? So maybe that little initial investment. But then you could sit down and start to plan everything out while you're writing the book, and then start to fit things into your budget as well. So it's not this, holy crap, I have to come up with how much money? So you can plan it out. This is not I don't think it's a quick process. Unless you have the book already written, which I did. I had started writing the book many years ago, and then I kind of took it off the shelf and then re-looked at it and deep-dived and tweaked it. So I didn't have to sit and write for 3 months. But I think most people don't have a book on the shelf that they can go and kind of dust off and reformat or rework. So it's not like what we're talking about isn't you need this all this month. That's just not how this process works. There's a process involved just like anything else. So that makes sense, right, what I just said?
Absolutely, yes. I tell authors that, if you can give yourself 6 months to a year, that's great.
Yes.
Because you'll be able to do it without stressing yourself out. You know, you can save up the money and you know, if you want to do it right, you know, like I said, if you have a friend who's an editor who will do it pro bono for you or something, great. That'll save you some money. Or if you have a friend who is a design expert and can do your cover for you, or maybe, you know, even a college student who, you know, if you have a fairly simple book idea, they might be able to help you out. So there are ways that you can save money doing it. Just know that don't go for the free option unless it's a friend who's a professional at it.
Exactly. And I just want to comment on that. So, and you actually had, you love the artwork of Lorianne's. So I reached out to Lorianne, yeah, again, my little resource over there. And I said, who did your cover? Because it came out fabulous. And it was through Upwork, which I highly recommend. And they have experts that are fabulous. And I worked with him all. The gentleman I dealt with, Elid is his name, and he's from Serbia. And so he literally, within a day, came up with several scenarios for me. I loved the one. It was just awesome. and picked it. Yeah, so he did just an awesome job. It's nothing that's out there. My colors, his color choices pop for sales books. It was a little bit different because I wanted to pop, you know, in the, because you're, you know, on Amazon or wherever you have all these books listed, you know, you want the cover to pop a little bit. So Upwork, I think, and you could interview all these people, several people I interviewed, and I ended up using the same person as Lorianne, this gentleman, Elliot, who just did a fabulous job, very responsive. And I think it cost me, no joke, $100. We have to put my picture and, yeah, my bio and stuff. He still has to do a couple of things for me. I'm dragging my feet. It's not on him. You know, so it's going to end up being a couple $100. But he's an expert. This is what he does for a living. He's a graphic artist. So they're making a living, right? Entrepreneurial spirit out there, and they're making a living. So there's a lot of ways to get things done. Students, like you recommend, or having a friend who's a graphic artist. But I agree, do not do that free, you know, buy the Adobe and do it yourself. It's horrifying. I wouldn't even have attempted that because I'm not creative enough. Right. So let's talk about, it's true. It's true. You know, stay in your lane, right? Isn't there the commercial? Stay exactly. in your lane. Know what you're good exactly. at. Stay in that lane.
Focus on the writing
yeah.
the book.
Yeah. yeah. And you know, we think, oh, I could do that. Yeah, you can. But what's the, by spending this much, it might be 1,000% better. So, you know, don't be penny wise, dollar foolish. Now, what mistakes mm-hmm. do you typically see authors make all the time that you think, yep, this is very typical that most authors go through?
There are a few mistakes that I see them make on a regular basis. One is not branding themselves. A lot of times people will put out a book and they'll forget that the book is by an actual person, and people really want to get that human aspect of it. So you've got to make sure that you have a platform built for yourself. Like you know, you've been doing this for so long that you do have a personal brand. Yeah. And everything we do in business still relates back to our personal brand. Even if you're an employee somewhere, your personal brand reflects your professional job. So, you know, make sure that you get your personal branding for the book in place and really know how you want your perception out there as an author to be. And, you know, start to own it as well. Start to own that you're an author. It's a pretty cool thing. So own it. Don't be shy about it. Feel free to tell people.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool.
Yeah. And then the other mistakes that I see, we've kind of touched on a little bit, are where they try and just, you know, go as cheap as they possibly can, or they rush and try and just, you know, get it out. I see these things all the time, you know, get your book out over the weekend. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. Please don't do that. Please don't get your book out over the weekend. I had to write one book that was a nonfiction book. And I think I had 2 weeks to write it. My deadline was for 2 weeks, and I was just horrified. And I have not gone back and reread the book because I'm scared to. I know there are going to be issues in it because it's impossible to do it right in 2 weeks.
Yeah. You know, that's our society of instant gratification. It's dangerous, right? We think we can do it. We're overachievers and say, I published a book. You know, that you be careful. Agree. Any other pitfalls?
Well, no, I was just going to say that there is a way to get things out quicker where you don't have to write. Cause a lot of times I hear people say, oh, I just don't have time to write, or, I'm not a good writer. But what I've seen authors do successfully is, let's say you're a keynote speaker and you have a lot of speeches that you've done over the years, have somebody take the recording and put it into your manuscript. Just turn your key speech into a book. You're going to have to tweak it a bit, but that's going to cut down on a lot of the time. And then if you have blogs, I have one author that I've worked with. She had years worth of blogs. And I said, man, you've probably got a book there just with your blogs. And so, you know, there are ways that you can look at content you've already created and possibly be able to put together a book without having to start from scratch. And then, of course, you can hire a ghostwriter. So if you're not a good writer at all, you know, go ahead and hire a ghostwriter. You can find them anywhere from $500 to $100,000, depending on who your writer is.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Credentials, right? Credentials matter. We're almost out of time. So what are some tips for marketing their book that you, like, are your go-tos?
My go-tos are be consistent. That is the main thing that I see with regards to marketing is that they'll put a few things out here and there, or they won't at all. Yeah, definitely have to market your book. You can't just put it up on Amazon and think it's going to become a bestseller. You have to market. So attack it from a variety of angles. You know, attack it from in real life with your street team, you know, your family and friends who are going to help spread the word. You know, go talk to local bookstores and libraries and whatnot. But you've got to be on social media, of course. Unfortunately, like for you, LinkedIn would be a great place because you're going to be speaking to entrepreneurs. So just make sure you're consistent and actually have a plan. You know, sit down, you know, again, it's the reason why I say give yourself 6 months to a year if you can, so that you can map out a plan of some sort. And, you know, that way you can, okay, I can give background behind the scenes on this day. Then tomorrow I'm going to do a promotional post. Then the next day I'm going to do a snippet from my book. You know, that way you can plan it out and it's not just sell, sell, sell. It's going to be a nice balance of marketing there where you're, you know, sticking to that 80-20 rule of 80% educational and informational and then 20% sales.
Yeah, and that's a great recommendation. And it's funny, I know a lot of people who are on LinkedIn or Facebook and they invite all people. And there's no rhyme or reason. And that's not how I roll. So if someone, you know, through third party or whatever, sees something and, you know, they'll write me a person. I love when people write that person. I don't say, hey, Con, you know, I see that we know multiple peoples. I think we should connect. You never know how our paths will cross. You know, I'd love you to be in my tribe or whatever. And I love that because I think there was thought in that. And I always accept those because I think, and I always, you know, write a little note back. So it's a pleasure to meet you online. You never know, you know, let's show up on each other's feed, right? That's important. So we could even support each other on LinkedIn. When I sent out an invite, it's somebody who's been on my show or it's an entrepreneur I meet at a networking event that I think, oh, I like their vibe. Let me see what's going on in their worlds because they show up on your feed and I love to read their quotes or I love to read an article they're sharing. So that it's this deeper connection. I know it's on the internet and we think, oh, it's the internet. You can't have a deep connection. That's nonsense. You have to pick and choose. I do not just invite a million people a day. I am very selective in who I invite because I want people to value me like I want to value them versus I have 10,000 people on my LinkedIn. Are they quality 10,000 people or is it just that you have a number? For me, I'd rather have quality versus quantity so that if I do publish something or I put a blog article out there or a quote, that people are going to know who I am and think, wow, I really like Connie's vibe. Or I really like that she takes time to write about something like that. Or she always gives great tips so that when they do see something from me, they're apt to open it because they know that it's going to be some valuable, you know, it doesn't have to be anything huge either. But so I am very selective. And I know that's what you're kind of talking about in the marketing piece as well. Your brand matters. It really does.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you're so smart to be selective about that and to be intentional. And, you know, that's what I was essentially saying too with your marketing is be very intentional. Otherwise, you're just going to feel stressed out. You're going to feel pulled all over the place. People will be confused by what your message is, yeah, and they're just not going to respond. But if you've got that clear connection and intention, yeah, it's going to be so much better.
Well, and also, I know you, during our conversation, you said to me, I think, like, you can't be everything to everyone. So pick what is it really that you're wanting to do? Pick that one thing. Doesn't mean other people, it's not going to resonate with other people, but pick that one thing because when you're clear, the person who you want to buy it is clear and you'll find each other, right? If you're all over the place and it's a generic kind of message, people are like, yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. So that clarity, I think, is real important, which was actually very good advice, again, from you as well. So here's the deal, guys. We're out of time, and I don't want to delay Chrissy because I know she's got a ton of things that she has to get done. I'm going to give you two pieces of her contact information. First, website, check it out. It's Chrissy, Chrissy, and then Burnell, B like boy, ERNAL.com. Check it out, wealth of information. If you have a very specific question for Chrissy, email her at Chrissy, and again, it's C-H-R-I-S-S-Y R-I-S-S-Y, at ChrissyBurnell.com. I will post that on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website, Chrissy, so everybody, I can backlink it, so they all find you and they're getting the right person, which is a helpful thing. I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, there's so much. I know there is. There's a ton. I could talk on this for hours.
it's huge. So my last, words of gratitude towards you, Chrissy, is number one, thank you, Lorianne Reeves, for introducing us. Number two, for you to be hi, Lorianne, right? She said her ears must be ringing. Second, your time that you took with me to really understand me, and then you did some extra things in the report for me because it was a little bit of a twist. So you customized it as well. And again, guys, it was so valuable, the report, at a tremendously great price. So I'll let Chrissy talk to you about that. I'm not going to share that. That's for her to do. But I highly recommend it. You don't know what you don't know. And I'm telling you, if you truly want to write a book, there is so many moving parts, guys. Take the first step by hiring Chrissy to at least do that report to get you in the mode of you have to do, 100 different things. You don't need to do them at once. So start here and then move through. It was really a wealth of information. So I am very grateful that I had the opportunity to meet you. And also after meeting her and I demanded that she tell me what else she does, I hired Chrissy as my editor for the book because I truly value her insight and her expertise. So again, that's my testimonial to you. I think you're amazing. So thank you for that as well. And I am grateful that we met. You guys, if you are still interested, my partner and I, second business, wisdomdecoded.com, on the landing page, you'll find your communication style assessment, free report. The assessment is free. Tremendous amount of information there as well for you so that you can tap into what are your blind spots when we communicate and what are your superpowers. We want to leverage those superpowers because it just makes more harmony as we communicate through life. So check that out. Again, wisdomdecoded.com. I'll post the links for Chrissy so you guys will find her. Truly, thank you again for taking the time, Chrissy. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I really hope anybody who's thinking about a book at least has a conversation with you. Everybody has a book in them, and I think that we need to get organized to be able to do it. But people have a lot to say, and if it's a value added that you're going to help people, you got to do it, guys. Get out there and do it.
You can do it.
Yeah. You can do it. Chrissy and I know you can. So thank you. Thank you again. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what the change is that you're looking for, perhaps it's writing a book, that I provide the resources for you, the information and content from the show to help you navigate whatever that change is. And I hope that you find that valuable. Again, that is the point of my show, to always provide quality content to help you, whatever change is thrust upon you or you're choosing in your life, that you're able to navigate. Thank you again to my wonderful guest, Chrissy Burnell, and for your expertise. Just wonderful. I truly appreciate it. You guys, you've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week, and go write a chapter of a book. See what happens. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.